Consider that ISKCON is their family. So that's the overwhelming majority consider ISKCON to be their family. That means, what is the definition of a family? Family means that you have a father who has children, brothers and sisters. Everybody agree with that? So who's our father? He may be the grandfather for other second generations to come. So as a family, we are all brothers and sisters. So this chapter is entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. So this chapter is talking about how we get off the path from being a family. Because a family, the family unit is the basis of society. When demons want to destroy society, the first thing they do is destroy the family unit. But when the family unit is strong, that's known as a functional family. Everyone is working harmoniously with love and affection, and everyone is in the family working to benefit every member of the family. So in our ISKCON family, we should also have this mood. So now Prabhupada is going to give us some deeper instruction here, and then we'll have a discussion about this particular verse. Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to their belief in various material relationships, people are promoted to various planets. Here it is said that one who is very faithful to his brothers should follow a path similar to theirs and get the opportunity for promotion to Marud Loka. Narada Muni advised Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons to follow their elder brothers and be promoted to the spiritual world. So here we see a family feud started by Prajapati Daksha. He did not set a good example. He was not a good role model. Prajapati Daksha insulted Shiva. He cursed Narada Muni. He's not a good role model. However, Prabhupada says that even in material relationships, the younger brothers should follow the older brothers. So what to speak of our family, which is not a material family, but is a spiritual family? We are linked by our consciousness and our devotion to Sri Krishna. That is our bond. Whereas in the material family, the bond is that I came from the seminal union of mother and father. In other words, the mother and father gave us this body. But Srila Prabhupada gave us something else. He gave us the means to take this body, which is a vehicle, and take it out of the material world and back to the spiritual realm where we get our eternal body, our siddhadeha, and engaged in our eternal occupation, devotional service to the Lord. So let's look at the Sanskrit here, some very important words. For example, dharmavit, one who understands dharma. So one who understands dharma knows that you take the humble position, das, 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 anu, das. You take the humble position with everybody, but especially with your older brothers and sisters. You have, that is the process. And this pleases Krishna when he sees that we're following the dharma. Because who gives the dharma? Krishna himself. If we're not following Krishna's dharma, and yet we're saying that we're followers of Krishna, does that make sense? Is that logical? Yes or no? It's a yes or no question. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. If I'm finding fault with someone, say, Prabhu, you don't know what you're talking about. Does that make sense? Because Prabhu means that I'm your servant and you are the master. But now I'm taking the position of master and treating you like the servant. It's not logical. So what we have to learn is dharmavid. We have to understand the dharma and understand the meaning of the words. These are not slogans that we just throw out without understanding the deep meaning. Like, I am your servant. It's not a slogan. It means that I'm actually your servant and I'm seeing you in a more advanced situation. Now, if we want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, how many people want to return to Goloka Vrindavan? Okay, then we better get serious about developing the qualities and the mentality of the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, because otherwise we won't fit in. We won't fit in. We won't be qualified to go there because we won't have the right attitude, the right path. This is called our path. If we don't have the right path, we can't enter into Goloka Vrindavan. So Prabhupada is teaching us how to get the correct path. And that, the first step is dharmavid, to know what is the dharma and to follow it. So there's three classifications of knowledge. The first is called information. I have heard that I am not the body. And when I go out and preach, I tell people, you're not the body. I'm not the body. But how many people here can honestly say that they have the realization that I'm not the body? Let me see a show of hands. Only one person. So we say I'm not the body, but it's just information. It's not yet knowledge. Knowledge means that I'm living according to that information, that I'm not the body. I'm living according to the understanding that I am a spiritual soul within the body. Now, our consciousness, how do we know what is our consciousness? The way I see myself is the way I see other people. If I'm looking out and I see that my family members in ISKCON as the body, as males, as females, as brahmacharis, as grihasthas, if I'm seeing them like that, it means I'm seeing myself as the body also. How you see yourself is how you see everybody else. Srila Prabhupada, he saw each and every one as spirit soul. Why? Because he saw himself as spirit soul. Clear? You understand? Is this logical? You not sure? So how do we get to this position of dharmavid? Understanding the real dharma and living according to it. We have to follow the teachings coming in parampara. And one of those teachings is, I have to behave like Das, 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 Amar Das. I may not see myself as Das, 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 Amar Das. But if I behave that way, gradually I will begin to see myself that way. And I give you a nice example in this regard. My godbrother, His Holiness Vishnu Jan Maharaj, was so enthusiastic. Everywhere he went, everything he did, he was totally enthusiastic. And he invited everybody else. So one devotee approached him one day and said, Maharaj, please tell me, how is it that you're always enthusiastic? He said, I'm not always enthusiastic. But you're always full of enthusiasm. He said, yes. Because when I'm not enthusiastic, when I'm feeling down, I act as if I'm enthusiastic. And by acting enthusiastically, I become enthusiastic. It's just like if you do a drama. It's Gaur Purnima. You're going to do a drama for the Sunday feast. And you've been chosen to be Lord Chaitanya. When you go on the stage, you become Lord Chaitanya. You speak in such a way. And when you come down, everyone says, that was the best drama I've ever seen. I really thought you were Lord Chaitanya. Because when we act in a particular way, then we develop that mentality. So we want to act as Vaishnavas. That's why we joined this movement. We want to come to the realization that I am a spirit soul. That I'm not this body. And in order to come to that understanding, I have to behave like the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, Das, 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 Anudas, offering loving service to everyone. Because everyone is dear to Krishna. Even in English, an English proverb, we have this saying that any friend of yours is a friend of mine. I like you so much that whoever is your friend, automatically they're also my friends. And we can apply this to Krishna. Anyone who's dear to Krishna has to be dear to us. So here, Narada Muni is instructing the brothers. There's groups of brothers. There's a group of the older brothers. There's a group of the younger brothers. And they're not seeing eye to eye. How to resolve it? So Narada Muni is saying, according to Shastra, those who are dharmavid, those who understand the Shastra, what do? Prayanam tishtam tishtati. They follow the path outlined by the Shastra, by the Acharyas. They may not like it. They may not feel like it. Sometimes in the morning, we may not feel like chanting japa. We may not feel enthusiastic. But we know what is our duty. And so we drag ourselves to the level of performing our duty. So our duty is to follow the Shastra. Srila Prabhupada is giving us the essence of the Shastra, the most important instructions to bring us out of the bodily concept of to see ourselves as spirit soul, so that we can see everyone else as spirit soul, so that we can understand that we're all part of the same family, Krishna's family, and the branch of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada's branch of Krishna's family. So, Narada Muni says that any brother who's aware, any awareness or consciousness or understanding of the Dharma follows in the footsteps of the senior persons, senior brothers. And by doing that, we attain the goal. Why do we attain the goal by doing that? Because it pleases Krishna. It pleases Krishna when he sees that we're following the Dharma that he has established. Because if we're not following the Dharma that Krishna established, it means we're still in the mentality of a rebel. We're still rebelling. We're not coming into the mood of acceptance. We're still in the mood of challenging. But we want to accept the higher understanding that's given to us. And even though we may not have that, we have to act as if we have that understanding. Just like we're going on a stage and someone becomes Lord Chaitanya, someone becomes Nityananda, we have to act as if we're Vaishnavas. And by acting like Vaishnavas, we become Vaishnavas. And to help us in this regard, Prabhupada gave some very valuable instructions. Number one, study the Shastra. That's why we study the Shastra every day, so that we can come to this understanding. Because Maya will cover us, and we'll forget. But by studying, every morning we come again to that remembrance, to that understanding. So that's the first thing. Second thing, sadhu sangha, associating with the devotees, but favorable association, not finding fault. So here we see Narada Muni is cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Now, our Vaishnava mood, we don't curse anybody. We don't curse. What do Vaishnavas do instead of cursing other people? What do? They glorify. What happens when you curse somebody? It means you have a negative mentality towards that person. This is called Vaishnava Parad and also Nama Parad. To blaspheme the devotees who dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord is the first offense in the chanting of the holy name. So it's a Nama Parad, it's also a Vaishnava Parad. When we criticize or find fault with other Vaishnavas, we're committing a double aparad. It's an aparad to the holy name, and the holy name is non-different than Krishna, so it's an offense to Krishna, and it's an offense to the Vaishnavas, especially the senior Vaishnavas in Parampara, the six Goswamis. They're seeing it as an offense. How dare you say that about this person who's dedicated his life to chanting the holy names of the Lord? So if we're Dharmavid, we understand these things. And the proof that we understand the Dharma is that we follow it. If we don't follow it, it means we do not understand. It's not knowledge. It's simply information. This is the information age. Anybody can go on Google and Google, "I'm not this body." They can read about it. Doesn't mean they have knowledge. It's simply information. Knowledge means you apply that information in your life, moment to moment, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, a whole lifetime. That's the meaning. That's knowledge. And what is the definition of wisdom? Wisdom means that your every thought, your every word, and your every act is in full accordance with Bhagavad Dharma. In other words, you now are becoming living truth. You're not talking about something. You are the person Bhagavad. Every word, every thought, every deed that the acharyas, that comes from the acharyas, it's living truth. They are the person I meet. So we have to become like this. And here, Narada Muni is saying that even in a materialistic family of Prajapati Daksha, if the younger brothers follow in the footsteps of the elder brothers, according to Shastra, they'll get promoted to the planets of the demigods. So Prabhupada clarifies that for us in the purport, that if we follow this, follow the senior Vaishnavas, our elder brothers and sisters, we'll be promoted to the spiritual world. We're not interested in going to the planet of the Varuns. Why is Narada Muni speaking about going to the planet of the Varuns? Why is he not saying to these brothers, going to the planet, to Dolo-gam-dam-dam. Because when you preach, you have to preach to the understanding of the audience so that they get it. If you preach something that they don't understand, that they don't get it, then you've wasted your time and you've wasted their time. So he's saying, you want to be promoted to the heavenly planets because that's all they can understand, then follow the Dharma. It's what Prabhupada used to call transcendental trickery. You encourage them to go higher and higher. You don't give them the ultimate goal because that's too much for them to grasp all at one time. So we go step by step. But in the purport, Prabhupada's giving us the Siddhanta, the ultimate conclusion, that if we follow this path, we will go back to the spiritual world. And the reason we'll go back to the spiritual world is by following the instructions of the Acharyas coming in Parampara. We become actual Vaishnavas. So there's 10 offenses to chanting the holy name. So there's 3 stages of chanting. One is the offensive stage. We're chanting, but it's very offensive. Who is it offensive to? It's offensive to the pure devotees. But they tolerate it. Why do they tolerate it? Just like the mother and father tolerate a little baby. They do so many immature things. Because they understand, it's just an infant. He doesn't know. So Krishna, all the Acharyas, they understand that on the path of bhakti yoga, we're simply infants. We don't know any better. So they tolerate our offensive chanting. But they do expect that we will come to the clearing stage. That after some time we begin to come to an understanding where we stop the offenses and we come to a clearing stage. And as these offenses or these anarthas, the unwanted things in our heart, the things we ourselves don't want, that we can't control, they just come out even when we don't want them to, like anger. Once these anarthas are cleared away, then we get to the offenseless or pure stage of chanting. What happens when you come to the pure stage of chanting? You become purified. What does it mean to become purified? It means you have now become a pure devotee. How many people joined this movement because they wanted to become a pure devotee? Only 2 or 3? Let me ask again, how many people joined this movement because they wanted to become a pure devotee? When we first came to this movement, we first came to ISKCON, we saw the devotees, how they were behaving with one another. How many people thought, these people are so pure? We all thought they were pure devotees, because from our perspective of living out in the material world, they were pure devotees. And so we wanted to become like them. I want to become like this. Is that why we joined this concert? We could become like that also?
Yes.
So we could become pure devotees. So we have to come to the offenseless stage of chanting. We become pure devotees. What happens if after 20, 30, 40 years we're still in the offensive stage? Our chanting is still offensive. We haven't come to the clearing stage. What happens then? Anybody have an idea?
You remain Kanishta.
You remain Kanishta. Worse than that. Sorry? Chanting becomes boring. But what happens is you slowly go mad. chant the holy name purely, offenselessly, you become purified and you gain full consciousness, divine consciousness. But when you continually chant offensively, criticizing devotees, being inattentive, doing all these offenses, your consciousness becomes less and less, and you begin to go mad. And I've seen this in our movement. We've seen people go mad. They go crazy. They do insane things. They leave the movement. They steal, they take millions of dollars from them. They offend Vaishnavas. They go nuts. So we have to come to the clearing stage. That means we're dharmavid. We understand the dharma, and we're living according to it. But if I'm finding fault with a Vaishnava, if I'm criticizing a Vaishnava, I'm not dharmavid. I don't understand the teachings. I'll present myself as understanding the teachings. I'll go out and preach. I'll discuss. I'll present my point of view, but it's all just tarka, argument, discussion and argument based on logic and reason from the platform of information. It's not knowledge. How do we know it's not knowledge? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the definition of knowledge, so that we can know who actually has knowledge. And what is the symptom of someone who has knowledge? They are kind and humble. If we see kindness, if we see humility, we can understand he has knowledge, she has knowledge. If we see that they're not humble, we understand it's only information. They have not yet come to the platform of knowledge. Of jnana-tamira-nudasya. Jnananjana-shalakaya-chakshu-yandini-tanyena-tasmai-siru-ve-namaha. This verse is very important. We chant it, but do we understand it? Or is it just some slogan? We just say it. We have no idea of the meaning. Ajnana means ignorance. Tamira-nudasya is the darkness. I was born in ignorance and in darkness because my eyes were closed. Not only am I in ignorance, but my eyes are closed. That's why I'm in darkness. But by the mercy of the topmost swan-like devotee and wandering mendicant, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, He has so kindly come to us who are standing in the darkness of ignorance with our eyes closed shut. And He's opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. But if after having given this knowledge, we don't apply it in our life and it just becomes information that I'm able to spout out to show that I'm learned, then what is the difference between me and a university professor who does the same thing? After class, he smokes a cigarette, goes to the pub for a drink. It's only information. He doesn't have knowledge. So we don't want to be like that. So, Sadhu Ninya, the first offense to the holy name, Namaparada, and also Vaishnava Aparada, is to criticize the devotees who dedicated their lives to spreading the holy name of the Lord. Now, Prabhupada uses the word blaspheme, to blaspheme the devotees. And he explains what the blaspheming means. Blaspheming means that I see someone who deserves credit for what he has done. And I know that he deserves that credit. But still, I will deny it and find fault with it, even knowing that he's deserving. That's blasphemy. So this is a great offense. Prabhupada says this is the first and foremost offense. It means we're not dharmavid. We don't understand the instructions of the parampara if we're still doing this. And we're not prayanam anutishtati. We're not following in the footsteps. Tishtati means to stand with. And anu means following. It's short for anusharam. I'm standing with those people who are following in the Dharma. But I'm not standing with them if I'm committing all these offenses. Because the people who are following the Dharma are our acharyas, the pure devotees. And I'm standing apart. So how to solve the problem? The first thing that you have to understand in order to solve a problem, you have to know that I have a problem. If I don't know I have a problem, how can I solve it? So the first thing I have to realize is I've got a problem. I just criticized that Vaishnava, who after 40 years is still serving, he's pleasing Krishna, pleasing Lord Chaitanya. He hasn't been showing the door yet. So many devotees have been showing the door, saying, you're not ready for this. Try again in your next life. He's still being accepted. And yet I'm finding his fault. It means I'm in ignorance. And I'll show you exactly how I'm in ignorance. Because according to Shastra and according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in great detail, whenever I find the fault of another Vaishnava, even though he has a fault, that fault that he would have gotten the karma for, because I'm finding that fault, I now take his karma. Everybody understand? By finding his fault, I'm benefiting him. I'm taking away his karma. I'm clearing his path back to Godhead. And I'm making my own path more and more difficult by adding other people's karma to my own. This is called Ogyana. In the darkest, deepest darkness of ignorance, I don't know what I'm doing. And if anyone criticizes me, they come to me and they say, this, that, and the other thing. I smile. I thank them. Any other faults? If you find any other faults, please let me know. You're my best friend. You're clearing my path back to God. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta said. Anyone who finds my faults is my best friend. For two reasons. Number one, he's clearing my path back to Godhead by taking my karma. Number two, he's making me realize, actually I have a fault. Maybe I haven't noticed it. Thank you very much. You're like my guru. You're my best friend. You're pointing out something I didn't see myself. So this is a Vaishnava. He is humble because he has real knowledge. So here in this verse, Narada Muni is approaching the sons of Prajapati Daksha who were engaged in tapasya. We are also engaged in tapasya, the Sankirtan Yajna, and the whole purpose of this is to become purified, go back home, back to Godhead, by developing the qualities of the pure devotees so that we can enter into that realm, Goloka Vrindavan, where only the pure devotees reside. No one else can reside there because they don't fit in. Just like the example is given, the fish live in an atmosphere of water. We cannot live in an atmosphere of water. The fish cannot live in our atmosphere, the atmosphere of the air. Now, what is the atmosphere of the spiritual realm? How many people know? The atmosphere of the spiritual realm is selfless, loving, devotional service. If we don't have that, we won't be able to fit into that atmosphere. Is that clear? So, Prabhupada gave us the formula. Number one, study the Shastra. When I say number one, I don't mean that this is the actual priority. So just listing them one by one. Another one is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But not offensively. If we chant offensively, we will not get Krishna Prema. Is that logical?
Yes.
Is that fair? Of course. Those who chant offenselessly, they get Krishna Prema. Why should I expect to get the same thing when I'm not following it properly? I'm doing it wrong, but I want to get the same benefit as those who do it right? What does it mean? Maybe it means that I have achieved propensity. Achievement. I want, without doing the work, without having a qualification, I want what he's got. But he has the qualification, he's done it. So this is the process of self-realization. Every one of us has to perfect our chanting, perfect our sadhana, understand the Shastra, and live according to it in order to be successful. And that's called performing devotional service correctly. If I follow correctly, I'll get the result. If I follow it incorrectly, will I get the result? No. Is that logical? Is that fair? Okay. So we agree on this point. So, one last point. There's 10 offenses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur helped us out. It's difficult to take care and always be mindful that I'm not committing 10 different offenses. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur described that if we take care of one offense, it solves the problem of all the offenses. And that one offense is the 10th offense. The 10th offense of the Lord is to be inattentive while chanting and to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions on the matter. I've heard so many instructions on this matter, but still I'm inattentive while chanting. Still I'm maintaining material attachments. This is the greatest offense because it's the cause of all the other offenses. This is the cause of all the other offenses. Because inattentive chanting means that I'm not allowing the holy name to enter into the ear and into the heart so that the purification can take place. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. All of us have been to school, we're all educated. How many people remember sitting in front of the class and taking notes? From those notes, you study and pass the exam. How many people remember that? How many people remember that sometimes while taking notes, your mind begins to wander and you don't hear the next point the professor makes? So you lean over and you copy what your neighbor wrote into his notes, you write into your notes. How many people have had that experience? What does this teach us? It teaches us that when you think, you can't hear. When you think, you cannot hear because the mind is engaged in something else. It's not engaged in receiving the sound vibration. So if I'm chanting my japa and I'm thinking, it means I'm not hearing. Means it's an offense. Now, how many people, when they're chanting japa, are thinking Krishna Lila? And how many people are thinking my Lila? well, by the laughter. That's what happens. When I'm chanting my japa, I'm not thinking of Krishna Lila, I'm thinking of my Lila. My past, my present, my future, it's all me. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. Forget all the other karmas, make me number one. But when we chant the holy names, when we chant our japa, we discover that I'm number one. Because my mind always goes to me. It doesn't go to Krishna. He's not number one in my life. I'm number one. And Krishna's telling Arjuna, forget everything. Make me number one. Because Krishna knows that everyone's thinking that I'm number one. He wants that we should think that Krishna's number one in our life. So we have to learn how to control the mind so that I'm hearing the mantra, so that it enters into the heart and purifies the heart. And if we can do that, we can chant attentively. And Prabhupada explained that the tenth offense means we have to chant with care and attention. Attention means that I'm focused, one-pointed on hearing the holy name so it enters into my consciousness and into my heart. And with care. Care means carefully and with care, with affection, with loving tenderness. Then the holy name enters into our heart, purifies our heart, and then we never commit any more offenses. Why? Because a person with a purified heart is a pure devotee. And a pure devotee never commits any offenses. So the whole secret of becoming a pure devotee is correcting the tenth offense and chanting attentively. That means I don't stop and talk with other people. I have to stop all social intercourse for 2 hours. I should be constantly just engaged in hearing Krishna's holy name, which means that I have 2 hours of quality, intimate, personal time alone with Krishna. That's what japa is. Japa is my quality, personal, intimate time alone with Krishna and nobody else. You can compare that with Radharani in the Kunj with Krishna. No one can come. That's it. She's alone with Krishna. We have to be alone with Krishna. That's what japa is. And if we correct the tenth offense, we solve all the problems of all the other offenses, because the pure holy name purifies our heart. And we'll become purified, we'll become pure devotees, and we'll never commit those offenses ever again. And we'll become Dharma men. And this is the path of Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma. Sarva Dharma Pritya, you give all of all other dharmas gradually, step by step, and you come up. Mame Kam Shavanam Raja, and you take up Bhagavad Dharma, make Krishna prime focus of your life. Sharanam, surrender to it. Vraja, Vraja has a double meaning. Vraja in Sanskrit is short for Vrajana, which means touring. So Vraja means wherever you go. Wherever you go, make Krishna number one. And to me that means if I go from one room to another room, I'm going somewhere. In other words, every step you take, make Krishna number one in your life. He should be in your heart. Mama mana mandire rohanishiti. In the temple of my heart, every moment, day and night, Krishna murari, Sri Krishna murari, Sri Krishna. Who's the enemy, the slayer of the demons of doubt? The demons of doubt. Arjuna had demons of doubt. He lost all composure. I'm forgetting myself. The Gandiva bow is slipping from my hand. Krishna had to remind him. Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Viro, Krishna says, if you make me number one in your life, I'll take away all your sinful reactions, past, present, and future. If we do our part, Krishna will do his part. We make Krishna number one, he'll take away all our sinful pap, karma, for millions of births. Is that a good deal for us? Is that a good deal? We make Krishna number one, he takes away all our past karmas, wipes our slate clean. Is that a good deal? Yes or no?
Yes.
Moksha Ishyami, and I'll bring you back home, back to God, and you can enter into the Nitya Lila. Is that a good deal for us?
Yes.
Masuchaha, then give up all your doubts. Give up your weakness of heart. Get serious. Confirmed. It's serious. Be committed. Be dedicated. Be firm. Be convinced. This is the path back home, back to God. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any questions? Yes, brother. You want to make your question into the microphone?
I had this. The last couple of days, I forgot my counting beads. And when I sat down to chant, I realized that I was going to lose track of what ground I was on. And so I just decided, I think speculatively or, I don't know, inspiringly, to focus on one particular name of Krishna, or Hare Krishna, and then move on to the next and just emphasize that particular name. And that's how I finished 16 rounds. And I realized that I was attentive more than I had ever been in the last 20 years. So is that a recommended way?
That is the recommended way is whatever it takes for you to be attentive, chant with care and attention, that's the recommended way. We don't want to be inattentive, that's the wrong way. The right way is to be attentive. So whatever works for you, that's the right way for you. Whatever works for someone else is the right way for them. The way I do it, I chant, and when I come back to the big beat, because when they go from larger to smaller, it means I've done two rounds. I only have to do that four times, and I've done eight rounds. So I just have to count to four twice, which is pretty easy. I just have to keep track of that. If I don't have counting beads. If you have counting beads, you just do it automatically, just pull them down. But we don't want to be focused on, okay, I got six more to go, I got four more to go, I got three more to go. The last thing we want to do is this. Finish my rounds. Thank God. Now I can do something I really want to do. I'm finished for the day. How many people end their japa like that? What kind of message are we sending to Krishna? Boy, I'm so happy that I'm done chanting your holy name in such a jagra. Is that the right message? It's the wrong message! Better to end like this. Finished my 16 rounds. And dear Lord Krishna, I just finished my 16 rounds. Please don't mind if I stop now. I have some other things I have to do. But I can't wait to get back to chanting your holy names again, Hare Krishna. Is that a better way to end? How many people think that's a better way to end? So each one of us has to come to an understanding, Dharmavit, to understand what is the best way to get the result of following this Dharma. Because it can't be automatic pilot. It has to be the science of self-realization. I have to realize what I'm doing. And that's called Bhakti Yoga. Any other questions? Yes. Someone is chanting wrong. So instead of saying, you're chanting wrong, this is bogus, this is not right, that's fault finding, that's always wrong. Instruction is like this, my dear Prabhu, I've been listening to your chanting, and I know that you can chant much better, because I've heard on other days you chant much better. Today, for some reason, you're not coming to your full potential. But I know you want to do the best. So you give encouragement, that's instruction. That's the difference, the mentality. Instruction is to uplift, finding fault is to break down. Simple. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay, well thank you very much. And now, one of the most important instructions given by the Acharyas to help us become pure is to honor Mahaprasad. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.